Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Johnny Montgomery II.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In reverence to God, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and grateful once again for this another blessed privilege to study your word. Now may the Holy Ghost take the text and teach us from it, minister to us right where we are, lift us to where he would have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the saints said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to continue our teaching dealing with bitterness so that we may continue to deflate that spirit that may reside in all of us in some small or great way. How many of you know that bitterness is defeatable?
Amen.
Amen. Well, just encourage your neighbor and say, neighbor,
bitterness
is defeatable. Now, you see, somebody might not want to hear that, but they needed to hear that. Because some of us are allowing bitterness to defeat us when we have the power to defeat bitterness. One of the things, we're going to talk about overcoming bitterness, because we talked about it, identifying it last week, but now we want to talk about how to overcome bitterness, because just identifying it does not necessarily in and of itself help us to deal with it or to do away with it. So as a result of that, we want to now deal with overcoming bitterness. Now, number one, in order to overcome bitterness, you have to admit that the bitterness in your heart is sin and damaging to you. Admit that bitterness in your heart is sin. See, if you don't think it's sin, then you don't think you're doing no harm and no wrong with letting it stay there. But you've got to admit that bitterness is sin in your heart. You've got to be clear and true to you, and that it's damaging to you. You see, a whole lot of us don't think and don't realize that bitterness in our heart is a sin, and that it is conjunction, tying that together, damaging to us. Again, it's like a cancer. It's eating at us. It's taking us to another place of painfulness. And we become slaves to bitterness, which means that bitterness has control over us. And what is bitterness and being a slave to bitterness? It is holding on to a painful memory that allows itself to continue to perpetuate itself alive in our consciousness. Now, bad things have happened to all of us. None of us are exempt from bad problems, situation, bad people, bad circumstances. You can't control some of the things that come to you, come your way, that happen to you. But you can control how you respond to it. And that's what you've got to deal with. So the first thing is to admit that bitterness is sin and that it is damaging to us. Let's look again, if you will, at 1 John. And I want us to see something. We're going to look at chapter 3, verse 11, 12, and then verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 12, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Verse 15, "Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Now, you know, Cain was so bitter over Abel's offering, so that bitterness continued to fester in him till it got to the point where he committed murder. It all started with bitterness. And bitterness, if it's allowed to fester, grow, to continue to perpetuate underneath the skin, it constantly pushes you toward an evil end. It starts in the mind, and it continues on into the heart until it comes out as an action. So it's damaging underneath the skin. So again, we've got to recognize that. But look at what 1 John chapter 1 says in verse 9. We're talking about being able to overcome bitterness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 simply states that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Somebody say our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here is the thing. In bitterness, we have a part to play, because whether someone did something to us or we did something to one another, when we allow bitterness and that spirit of bitterness to fester in us, then the sin becomes a part of our existence, because we keep thinking and reliving it and keep adding to it, and it becomes more and more poignant and so forth and so on. So then it becomes a sin underneath our skin, even if somebody else did us something, because number one, we didn't forgive them. So because we don't forgive them, then it becomes a sin to us, even though they may have committed the sin to us. Now, let me just ask a question. Has someone promised you something and didn't deliver? Did it disappoint you? Let you down, hurt your feelings, etc., etc.? I mean, has somebody done you something that you didn't have power to control? I mean, and I can keep on going down the list and list of things. And the point is, you didn't do anything to them. They did it to you. But if you didn't forgive them, and then if you allow that spirit of unforgiveness to live and abide in you, then it becomes bitterness, and it just keeps on growing underneath your skin. So though you didn't cause it, you are continuing it. Yeah.
So that's why you've got to be careful that you don't allow this spirit of bitterness to stay in your spirit, but get it out, because it just festers more and more evil thoughts in your heart and your mind until ultimately it comes out in your lifestyle. You're going to get back. You're going to get even. You're going to do something. You're going to retaliate. You're going to do something to try and ease this flesh and only making things worse. So you got to know that you have a part to play. God, forgive me for my thoughts against this person. You said, vengeance is yours. You will repay. I turned this situation. I've gone to my brother, my sister. I've told them about my situation. I've forgiven them, and they have still not acted any different toward me. I turn them over to you. Forgive me for having evil thoughts of wanting to retaliate. I put this in your hand, God. That's how you get rid of that. You acknowledge, I had some pretty bad thoughts, God. You knew I was going to do them in. I've been thinking on this a little while. I stopped sleeping and I turned off the TV. I started reading me some books on how to get over on these folks who do you wrong. So God, forgive me for trying to take matters in my... See, I'm trying to help somebody here. Because you got somebody that done you wrong 20 years ago. You still trying to get even with them. You waiting for the day. Just waiting for the day. Get them down. I just want to one time stomp them. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Thank you, Pastor. You're welcome. All right, another way to help us overcome bitterness, too, is to admit your own mistakes. Second reason, a way to overcome bitterness is, too, to admit your own mistakes. Look at Matthew 7, and you're going to understand this. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to see with Matthew 7. Let's look at verse 3 and 4, if you will. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Now, another way of getting rid of bitterness and that spirit of bitterness and overcoming it is to admit your own mistakes. You see, generally, again, when we foster a spirit of bitterness, it's usually because we focus on somebody else's faults instead of our own. Yeah. 9 out of 10 times, we had a part to play in it, but because somebody else's mess up was bigger than our mess up in our own eyes, we chose to focus on their mess up rather than ours. But here's the truth of the matter. Most of us, when we are in a situation where we choose to point the finger at somebody else, we forget that when we point the finger at somebody else, because we are producing this film, because we are manufacturing this story, we choose to set ourselves in a better light than we do the person that we're pointing the finger at. So in our own eyes, our righteousness, based on our own thoughts, based upon our own judgment, based upon our own ability to write the play and end it like we want to end it, always puts us in the better light, when the truth of the matter is, the word is clear that we have bigger issues than the ones we are calling out on other folk, but because we choose not to focus on those, it seems small compared to the ones that we are focusing on. So many times we might pick out the little minute situation that is in a brother or sister's life and overlook all that's messed up in our own life. Now listen to this. People who try to get it right don't go around trying to pick out faults in other folk lives. One of the reasons is because they are cognizant of the fact that I am in no position to judge nobody. I'm just so glad the Lord hadn't pulled the cover off of all of my sins and shortcomings. I'm going to try and cover up with love whatever that brother or sister has done wrong. So let's pray for them. Let's try and, you know, because none of us have a right to judge. And here's what you don't realize. The moment you start trying to pull the cover off somebody else's life, God says, you're forgetting I got control over the cover that's on yours. And so as a result of that, he makes clear that that little mote that's in your brother's eye is no comparison to the big old beam that's in your own eye. So we've got to admit our own faults. And if we start writing down what's wrong with us, I promise you, we get to the point where, oh, that ain't too bad. You know, that brother, he got his faults, but you know, he human. You know, then you start realizing, well, now, you know, everybody ain't as bad as it seems when you start writing your list of what you are messed up with and so forth and so on. And then when you get to realizing how much you got to get right, it leaves little time in your life to find what's not right in other folks' lives. So that's another reason you got to admit your own mistakes. But then third thing is you've got to turn this session or season of bitterness into a school of wisdom. You got to turn this session or season into a school of wisdom. You got to learn from your pain, and you've got to understand that it is a well of wisdom when you understand again certain things that relate to understanding your part and understanding how God operates. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see how, if you will allow, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. What the word says. Paul says to the church at Corinth, well, let me just include verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now look at what he says in verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now look at this. He's saying, because though you are born again, you're still acting like unborn again, unregenerated people. You're still carrying on the ways of the world. You're still dealing with envies and strifes and divisions. You're still acting carnal or worldly. Now, see, many of us have been saved, but we haven't been converted. We are saved, born again, we love Jesus, and on and on and on and on, but we have not converted from the world's way to the Word's way. And so there is still a conversion from one lifestyle to another lifestyle that must take place in order for you to grow. And one of the things that you need to understand about growing is letting a go or letting loose of the bitterness of the world and the retaliation and the envy and the strife and the divisions that are found in the world that, again, are fragments still left in some of the saints who have not yet fully converted over to a lifestyle of Christianity, which means you accept Christ, but Christ is not viewed, nor is he actually fully digested in you, so much so that what enters you exits you. You see, you've entered Christ, but you haven't allowed Christ to enter you. And I mean fully enter you, your mind, working your mind and your thoughts, washing your mind and washing your thoughts. You're still thinking like the world. You're still acting like the world. You're still trying to do like the world, operate like the world, when the truth of the matter is that the world has no profit in the things of the Word. And so you got to understand, you've got to do things differently, because now you are resident of one world, but citizens of two worlds. Your flesh is resident of this world and citizen of this world, but your spirit is a citizen of the other world. You have eternity in you now. You listen to this, and you need to recognize that what enters your life exits your life. So when the Word enters into your life and begins to minister to your life, when you open up your mouth, it is the Word that's going to exit out of your mouth. It's going to exit out and perform what you say. So now you've got to be careful what you allow to enter your life as a born-again believer, because what enters your life is going to exit your life, and the fruit thereof is going to be what you eat or partake from. So knowing this, then you've got to be careful again about a lot of the ways and a lot of things that you allow to happen in your life. Again, let's look at First John 2:27. I want you to see what this word says. 1 John chapter 2:27. And the word says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now again, the Holy Ghost will teach you right out of the same situation, out of your painful experience, if you allow the Holy Ghost, who is your teacher, to teach you right out of your painful experience, right where you are, how he will use that pain and cause it to become profitable if you allow him to be the one who speaks through you. First of all, speaking to you. And as he speaks to you, how is he going to speak to you? He's going to speak to you by the word. He's going to share revelation and understanding about how to deal with this bitterness that has caused your life this disruption and this state of upsetness, because you, again, are realizing you've got to make a choice whether I'm going to operate out of the natural realm or the spiritual realm. And so when I begin to understand, the Holy Ghost is going to teach me now how to choose my words, how to choose my situation, how to calm my temper, how to be able to be in control, how to let him who abides in me, who is greater in me than he that is in the world. And as I allow him as my teacher to minister to me, I having control over my tongue, having control over my emotions, having control out of my feelings, will not speak out of anger, will not speak to hurt somebody just because they've hurt my feelings, but rather out of love. And then by allowing the Holy Ghost to speak to me, he's not just going to talk to me or teach me about the situation. He's going to talk to me about the subject. Amen. You see, in other words, while that person is howling, screaming, and cussing, and fussing, the Holy Ghost is going to say, they are really hurting underneath the skin. And they may tell you, you know, it's not really about you, so just calm down. You just let them, you're going to realize that somebody else is really the cause of their problem. But because they can't tell them what they can tell you, just let them get it out. And then when they get it out, you just love them with the love of Jesus. And you're going to get underneath all of that mess and get to the core of the problem and be able to see. But if you get mad and start shouting back out at them, and before you know it, you get tangled in a warfare that wasn't even your war. But he who is your teacher, the Holy Ghost, is going to show you how to deal with some situations. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. And you know what a soft answer is? It doesn't just mean a soft voice. A soft answer means it's an answer that is capable of de-arming the person. It means of calming them down, of saying something that's really kind and sweet that makes them feel like a big fool without calling them a fool. And so a soft answer really makes them realize, wait a minute, you're talking in this mess at the wrong person. I'm not your enemy. I love you with the love of Jesus. That's the only way I can love you right about right now. Oh, Holy Ghost, help us. All right. Let's move on to another one. Another way to overcome bitterness is to admit bitterness is robbing you of your joy. Because literally, bitterness does rob you of your joy. Let's look at Ephesians again, 4 and 30 and 31. Ephesians 4, 30 and 31. Now, one of the things you're going to see about this as well is that when bitterness robs you, it grieves the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the one who brings you the joy. Amen. It says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, not some of it, let all of it. Listen, and wrath, because all of these are in a progressive order and they are connected by the word and, which is a conjunction joining them together. Listen, you can't have wrath without bitterness. Listen to me. And wrath is, again, a continuation and a progressive state of anger, and then it goes on again with all of the things that follow. It says, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, you cannot have joy in your heart with bitterness. Can't have joy in your heart with malice. Can't have joy in your heart with wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking. You cannot have joy with all of these things present. All of these things deplete your joy. It depletes it more and more and more, and it all begins with the one word, bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness fosters all of these other things. If you get rid of bitterness, the rest of these things don't have a foundation to stand on. You ain't got no reason to be angry if you ain't got no bitterness. You ain't got no reason to be envious if you ain't got no bitterness. You have no reason whatsoever to have malice in your heart if you don't have bitterness. You don't have not one reason to speak evil of anybody if you don't have bitterness. But when you got bitterness, all of those things happen. And I tell you, no, you if you ever just listen to folk talk, you can tell whether they've got bitterness or not. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every evil speaking comes out of a root of bitterness. People don't speak evil about people unless there are some bitterness there. And so, listen again, if all these things are present, then that means your joy is at a minimum at best, if it's even present. Now, people without joy can't smile. People without joy can't laugh. People without joy can't rejoice. Because in order to do all of these things, you got to have some joy. And you think about your enemy. When was the last time you saw him or her smile, laugh, rejoice? That's why I look at some of you on Sunday mornings, I'm like, God deliver them from a spirit of bitterness. I mean, folk are rejoicing all around them, smiling, got the love and glow of Jesus. They're sitting out there looking like a bulldog just got through sucking on some lemons. And the presence of the Lord is here. And they don't look like, I just wish she would step on my toe because I'm about ready to lay her. I got enough of all that jumbness. I don't take all that. No, because if you get some bitterness, it wouldn't take all that for you neither. But you got all that stuff in you. Leave away from home with hell. Come to church with hell. Raise hell up in church. Get back in your car. Drive like a hellion. Cussing folk out and waving that unwaving holy wave at them. Granting them peace with half the fingers. Oh, you don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about now. Y'all get all holier than thou. Then you won't call it road rage. It's bitterness. At the root of all your anger and all the rest of that, it's bitterness. All right. Let me ask you to do something here to jot this down. Stop discussing your pain with those who cannot dissolve it. Stop discussing your pain with those who cannot dissolve it. Let's look at, we still in Ephesians, let's look at verse 29 and look at what the word says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:29 is saying, stop discussing your pain with people who cannot dissolve it. Now, this is important to hear, my brothers and sisters, and you're going to hear why this is important. First of all, when you discuss it with somebody who can't do nothing about it, it just perpetuates. It just causes that pain to be relived over and over. And here is the problem. If you discuss it with somebody who can't help you to dissolve it, then 9 out of 10 times what they're going to do is cause it to grow with their, again, corrupt. See, first of all, when you talk about it, and if it's painful already, and if it's bitterness already,